whom art thou, Mahan? Love of God, it is the ultimate benediction for all human beings. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, therefore first offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before describing his magnanimity in bestowing love of Godhead. Om again, the Chaitanya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srinivasani Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita at the advanced age of about 90 years and he himself was astonished how he was able to write this book, even though he was physically deteriorating in so many ways. It was astonishing to him how the words flowed from his pen. In every chapter, he begins with a verse glorifying Lord Chaitanya. As he says here, Agatyeka Gatimna Da Hinakadika Sadakam. He's offering his obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya, who's the ultimate goal of life for one bereft of all possessions in this material world, and is the only meaning for one advancing in spiritual life. The people whom you're meeting, they have no destination. It seems they're making movement towards something, but actually they're not going anywhere. That you have to understand so you can be compassionate and don't make the mistake of actually thinking, they're not so bad, they're not suffering so much. Just think about the futility of making so many endeavors to move forward, and actually you're not going anywhere. It's like if you're swimming in a pool and you tread water. You're treading water very vigorously, but you're not moving forward. This is what is happening around you. So much motion, so much movement, but no one is going anywhere. They're stuck in the modes of material nature, in the worst modes of material nature, in the worst period of the cosmos. Only if you can introduce them to Lord Chaitanya will their life have any semblance of meaning. You have to be able to see that. What is the use of financial achievements? What is the use of possessions? What is the use of acquiring relationships? If there's no movement towards the proper destination, they're actually standing still, although apparently there's so much motion. Once Srila Prabhupada was at an airport, there's so many people scurrying up there. And he told the devotees, you think these people are living? I see just dead persons everywhere. They're not going anywhere. All their energy exertion is for naught. That you have to understand. And then you can properly have compassion. But if you're thinking, they're not so bad. Well, look at that one. Looks a little happy. Well, that looks like a nice couple. You're thinking like that. Then you won't be able to be compassionate. That's why it's essential to have knowledge so that you can understand the true situation and do something about it. It's essential to have knowledge so that you can help, so you can care. Love without knowledge is useless. And what we understand that. Love based on the body and mind, without knowledge, has not done anything for the world. Krishna consciousness has such extraordinary impact because it is love based on knowledge. When I was returning here from Melbourne, late-night flight, and one business executive was sitting next to me, and he was telling me how he's just in his second marriage, and it's just not working out. His first marriage, I said, well, when you married, did you think it was going to last? He said, yes, I thought it was going to last. But somehow or other, it just grew apart. Mm. She started to get interested in another. I can't blame her. I was cold. Then she asked me, as our relationship came to the crisis point, she said, all you have to do is say you love me, and I'll be all right. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So that relationship ended. And then he met his childhood sweetheart, who he hadn't seen for 30 years. The girl who lived next door, who as a young teenager, he was always like, dreaming of. He met her after 35 years, something like that. And they decided to marry. So I asked, okay, is this it? Did you your childhood sweetheart? Nah, it's not it. So what are you going to do? Divorce again? I don't know, but it's not it. We're passionately attracted to each other, but we argue all the time. The way they talk, it's really hard for you to understand. She's really got sexy intelligence. What was that? I can't figure out what they're telling you. It's sexy intelligence. Sorry, you've heard such expressions before? Huh? I mean, we really, there are times when we really good, but it's fight all the time. So, he said, I come from a loving family. Mm. She comes from a cold family. I really want romance. My parents, take my parents for example, they were in eternal romance. I mean, they died a few years ago, but they were in eternal romance. I mean, even in their old age, they were always touching and embracing and that's what I'm used to. That's what I want. Then he told me, when my parents were, my father was 84, my mother was 80, once I walked into their room by chance and they were engaged in, and I thought, wow, this is wonderful. Even at 80, they still love each other. He was just gushing. It's wonderful, I thought. They're 80, and they're in their early 80s, and they're still loving each other. Well, this is the kind of world you're dealing with. From the Vedic point of view, of course, it's considered abominable. People in their 80s playing around like that, like a bunch of passion-struck teenagers. But he thought it was wonderful. It was symptomatic of real love. The love that I want, my own marriage. So I told him. I told him to tell his wife that she was right by not being so much into romantic things. He was like, you say that? I said, just tell her she's right. I said, no, I'll tell her I met a Hare Krishna on the airplane and told me you're right. Any case, nothing is right about material life, but just to didn't something to think about. I told him his wife was right, that she wasn't into his extreme concept of romance. I said, why don't you just stay with her? You know, this is your childhood sweetheart, so you can say it's your destiny. And, she has her ideas. I have no idea. You can see people are so love-starved, but they don't know how to love properly. Love takes knowledge. This Krishna conscious movement is distributing real love. For that real love to happen, there has to be education. And that's what Lord Chaitanya is doing. He's distributing real love so that people's hankerings for love will finally be satisfied. Those who can approach Lord Chaitanya free of all material attachments, of course, they can readily take advantage. But even for those who think they're happy in material life, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is for them also. By contacting Lord Chaitanya, then they get some intelligence. Ah, this is really not what I want. This is not really so great. So don't think that Lord Chaitanya's mercy is just for those fortunate persons who have realized that material life is an illusion. No. Everyone can take advantage of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And don't be depressed, don't be saddened if people come to Lord Chaitanya's mercy and then go away. There's actually no failure in Krishna consciousness. Of course, people shouldn't go away from bhakti. But even if they do, they have eternal assets in their possession. They'll never lose the results of their devotional service. They'll take birth in very auspicious circumstances. They could even take birth in the family of devotees. So even if you say, oh, people are coming to Krishna consciousness and then they're going, of course, these days, not so many devotees go. What they do is they just stop practicing Krishna consciousness as well, remaining within the Krishna consciousness realm. They don't. In the old days, you just disappear. When you stop your practices, you stop following the principles, you stop chanting, you just head out, you know, the unknown. And nowadays, everyone just throngs together. You keep your Sanskrit name, you keep your neck beads on, and just do whatever the hell you want. In any case, there's no loss. In this life, okay, you may waste the rest of this life, but once again in your next life, you'll deal with devotional service again. And for those who are determined to stick to Krishna consciousness, you should know it'll take some time to develop. There'll always be the immediate payoff, the immediate experience, and then there'll be the future experiences. So you have to learn to see these two things together. Just like with this marathon, if you absorb yourself in this marathon, there'll be the immediate experience that you'll feel. But then there's also the future payoff. So there's always these two things going together, the immediate and the future. Sometimes people criticize, why do you take a spiritual life simply for a future goal, to be happy after you're dead, to be happy when you go back to Godhead? What about now? Krishna consciousness, however, bhakti yoga involves now and the future. Immediately, you'll taste Krishna, and then in the future, you'll also have more realizations in store for you. This is the glory of bhakti. Let us focus on Lord Chaitanya and beg for his blessing to distribute love of God. As Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, beyond salvation is Lord Chaitanya's gift of pure love of Krishna. Beyond relief from material existence is what Lord Chaitanya is giving. Let us concentrate on that gift. Let us try to taste Lord Chaitanya's magnanimous contribution and distribute it to others. In the age of Kali, it's very difficult, very rare to taste what is love of God. But Lord Chaitanya makes it so easy. As we always point out, Krishna doesn't make it very easy. But Lord Chaitanya asks, but Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, gives Krishna consciousness easily to everyone. And that's the kind of mood that you taste during your marathon efforts. You have the opportunity, the possibility, to taste the distribution of love of God. And then surely you'll taste. If you're trying to get everyone else to taste, you'll certainly taste. It may seem to take a while to get into the situation of distributing love of God. But it's worth it. It's worth the effort to see people's lives change in such a solid way. Not a sentimental way. Oh, now I'm born again. Now I believe. But you actually see the change happening because of Krishna conscious knowledge, Bhagavad Dharma. You see their life changing because of Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and detachment. It's very, very invigorating to see that. And it's very invigorating to be a part of that process. To let us understand what we're doing. We're participating in Lord Chaitanya's pastime of distributing the love of God to everyone. Even the persons who are the worst, persons who are glorifying their parents who are in their 80s for having lusty affairs. This is the kind of people you have to deal with. If you're educated persons talking like this, successful persons, leaders of society, and then he's wondering, where's that love? I want that kind of love that my parents had. I want that in my marriage. It's like putting all this pressure on his wife to, you know, to act like his parents acted when they were in their 80s. And then I said, well, where are your parents now? Well, they're gone. I said, well, then, what is the real depth of the attachment they have for each other? He told me how his father suddenly died and then simultaneously his mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. This is the way material nature is. That's the reality. Who has a program to deal with these realities? Only Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement can stop the real realities of life, birth, death, disease, and old age. We hear that so many times. Birth, death, disease, and old age. Birth, death, disease, and old age. We can't enjoy it because of birth, death, disease. The miseries. Although we hear it all the time, still our appetite to enjoy is there. This is the paradox. How are you going to solve that paradox? But even though I know there are these miseries, birth, death, disease, and old age, still I have the desire to enjoy it. Lord Chaitanya will solve that paradox. Lord Chaitanya will give you the pleasure of distributing Krishna consciousness to others, and then you'll turn your back on the false pleasures of the world. Lord Chaitanya will make it easy for you. Otherwise, it's difficult. Birthday season, birthday season. I still want to enjoy. Lord Chaitanya will solve that. If you give him a chance by becoming his agent. So you're going everywhere selling tickets back to Godhead. And even if you don't sell any tickets, you still get the credit. What could be a better deal than that? You get the credit just by trying. So please, let us try to understand what is love of God. What Lord Chaitanya is given. And let us not be shy to sacrifice a bit of our energies day after day. If you have energy, if you have strength, why not use it for the most wonderful purpose? To inspire us in our efforts for distributing pure love of God. Srila Krishna's Kavyas Goswami has given us Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the coming days, we'll hear more about the storehouse of love of God, the nectar of love of Krishna, and how Lord Chaitanya has so distributed it. Krishna consciousness is not simply about negation. You can't do this, you can't do that. Lord Chaitanya is giving the taste of Krishna praying. It just takes some time for you to taste that fruit. It's there. It takes some time for you to develop. Any questions?
He mentioned this born again traditions, and I mean, all of us probably born again every day, and quite a couple of them. And
that's so many in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, not compared to other places. Christianity's pretty dead here, you know.
That's what you're saying.
Much okay. More in Germany.
Okay, I'm gonna stay here then. I just wanted to know what they get out of it. I mean, I see they're not like on a really high level, like some senior devotees or something, or like lots of sentimental, but they definitely kind of add something to their life. And
it's nice they believe in God.
Yeah.
That's very good. I'm not criticizing that. Mm.
So what happens to them? Because a lot of them keep telling me that that's a change of their heart, and they get so free from all the things.
Free from what?
Of, like, yeah, first of all, small sins.
And then what they call sins?
Yeah.
Doesn't look like they're becoming free from sins to me. They don't know what sin is.
So this is, it's just that they like develop a
consciousness. It's nice, it's easy to be a Christian. You can drink, you can, yeah. You can eat whatever you like. Just say your blessing before you eat, you know. It's like my uncle, he had his famous holiday dinner, family dinner prayer. Good Lord, good meat, good gravy, let's eat. He was a minister. But, you know, and so, you know, whenever there's a family dinner, he would generally give a long-winded, you know, oratory, but you know, when it was special holidays, you know, special family banquets, he would just cut it short. Quick mantra. Good Lord, good meat, good gravy, let's eat. Anyway, the point is a little, even a little sentimental knowledge about God is good. But they don't know what sinful activity is. You don't have to control your senses.
What kind of belief does Jesus Christ then give to those people when they surrender?
Very few actually following.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jesus said that, that whoever calls himself my follower, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. There's some with deep Christian realizations, but they're fast fading. Some Christian monks have deep Christian realizations, as far as Christianity goes. But Protestantism, they don't like monks. It's like in Germany, Luther, he was a German. he was a blue monk, you know? He didn't want to be a monk anymore, and And he did see some actual corruptions in the Catholic Church, so he started, you know, his own thing. No monks, you know, no nuns. We're in favor of any theism, any actual belief in God. At the same time, we recognize there are different levels. The Bible is a shastra, what it's called in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's called a yavana shastra, meat eater scripture. There's different things meant for different persons. So what do you say when you meet Christians?
Some of them are nice. I mean, for example, I like the Catholics are pretty open-minded often, sometimes you can see with them.
Yeah, because they have spiritual authority in this system. They have some understanding of parampara, monks, nuns, so Protestants, you know.
Yeah.
So just do whatever you like and believe in Jesus. You can't stop sinning. The Bible says everyone must sin, but you just believe in Jesus. You're proud because you think you stopped sinning. We know we can't stop sinning, but we believe in Jesus. That's what my mother tells me. Never mind the regular principles. That's just pride. You have to sin. You just believe.
They stand in front of you. You see that when you're getting into it. There's like way too they can speak. And you know, I believe in the Lord.
Well, so then, what did I tell you to say? Praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just go with it. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Do you believe in Jesus? Of course. Of course I do. We actually follow him also. Just be positive.
Yeah.
Don't get into it with them. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Don't waste time. Just be positive. What do they do when you're positive?
And sometimes they try to, like, they don't really believe me often. So they, like, really try to, some of them come back, and sometimes they run off because they, like, really want to. I mean, they give me all kinds of leaflets, and a couple of days ago I got a leaflet on my trolley with a phone number.
If I'm trying to give you a leaflet, just say, I already got this one, I read it.
Yeah.
Just be positive.
Yeah.
We're happy that they're trying to, in some way, give some knowledge of God consciousness. It's just for meat eaters. As the Shastra says, it's very practically impossible to understand what is God. That's the problem. So we're not upset by their prejudices. Let them go on. It's something. Very small, but it's something. Probably what is disturbing is the arrogance. And that arrogance is especially disturbing because it's based almost always on lack of compassion. Especially fundamentalist Christians can be so proud about animal slaughter. They have no souls. God gave them to us to eat. That just destroys any possibility. That attitude destroys any possibility of understanding what is really God.
Some say, like the point of the book,
you believe in a false God, there's a false God.
Things like that, yeah?
You walk away when you start something like that. Just praise the Lord, hallelujah. But you mean others who are nice, yes?
Yeah.
Sometimes they get books, yes?
Yeah.
What do you tell them so they get books?
Yeah, tell them about what we try, how we try to develop our relationship with God, and that we tell them that we are servants of God and we are waiting our eternal relationship. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to explain why this song of animals. And sometimes I take a cookbook and I appreciate it in spite of being an amazing Catholic lady. And she said, oh yeah, I'm really sick of all this meat eating. And she, like, she was so grateful to that girl that she can cook books. For example, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Seems like through the more absorption in a marathon, you gain the realization of the extent we have to be absorbed in ourselves to stay on top of material desires. And maybe at the end of the marathon, we live with the reality of thinking, how can we do this throughout our life to stay on top?
Well, that's a good conclusion to come to. Mm-hmm. Yes, we realize that we're helpless without devotional service. And even though devotional service is accompanied by tolerance, austerities, some inconveniences, still you see, unless I engage in devotional service, what will be my protection against the flood of material desire? So the intelligent devotee clings to devotional service in all circumstances, no matter what. And then there's the positive side. Devotional service introduces me to love of God, ecstasy, love of Krishna. Krishna is attractive, you know? His holy name, his form, his pastimes, they are attractive. And devotional service deepens your rati and mati, your attraction and affection for Krishna. You all want to be affectionate! Each one of you wants to be affectionate. It's nice being affectionate, isn't it? When you develop your affection for Krishna, then you're satisfied. But every one of you wants to be affectionate. The heart has this craving to be affectionate to someone. That's good. Learn how to be affectionate to Krishna. But first, there has to be duty consciousness. Of the affection to develop. Like I was reading in one of the articles Mantramala saves for me from the newspaper. They were talking about arranged marriages in New Zealand and how there was this young Indian man and he wanted to find who was right for him and no one could point him in the direction of a suitable match. And then one girl was introduced to him and he said, finally he concluded, yes, you seem to meet all the things I'm looking for. I don't love you now, but after we're married, I'll learn to love you. So, of course, to most people's ears, that sounds horrible. You marry someone who says to you, I don't love you now, but after the marriage, I'll learn to love you. But the Indian girl, she accepted that. And then he said, and indeed it all worked. So that shows that real affection, as I always explain, is based on duty and commitment. As opposed to just getting a buzz from someone. It's like another article she gave me was describing the hooking up activities at universities where students who don't even know each other, you know, they just engage in lusty affairs, hooking up. And first, they just have some social gathering, drink some beer, and then they see if there's any feelings flashing around. Any temporary feelings, you know, to hook up onto. And then they, you know, not even knowing the person, networking, no intention of having any kind of relationship, they do all sorts of things. One girl interviewed was saying, the best thing is if no one knows about it, no one ever talks about it. And it's a successful hookup. It's one of those things, one of those, you know, momentary things. It's all part of time. It comes and goes. So, you can approach life in that way. How are my temporary feelings being appealed to? Or you can go for long-term, substantial feelings by building a foundation of duty and commitment. And then you can have access to the long-term feelings and love of God that Lord Chaitanya is offering. As you advance more and more in Krishna consciousness, your devotional ecstasies become more permanent. This is sthayi bhava. Instead of flickering, disappearing, coming, they start to stay. They have staying power. And then the ecstasies deepen and intensify. But first, there has to be duty and commitment. Anything else? So please use this opportunity to get beyond your material conceptions of what is devotional service, what is sankirtan, what is your, who are you and what can you do. Then you'll be making best use of this time. Try to come out of the marathon a different person. And you'll never forget these experiences. It's like I never forgot what happened Christmas of 74. I came out a different person. With no doubts, this is Krishna. I couldn't have done this. 2 years I haven't done anything. 7 days a week. That is the potency that's there in distributing the flood of love of God, the Lord Chaitanya.
Yes, very much. We hear also that at the same time that 5% of it is the externals and 95% of it is our own consciousness. Could you comment on that?
I already did in explaining that. When I had this breakthrough from Krishna, the devotee I was with was first thinking, you must have discovered some new line, you must have discovered some new technique. But no. When Krishna decides to use you, it happens. So I say it is worth struggling to get to that day when Krishna decides to use you. It's worth the wait, it's worth the effort, it's worth the struggle. You may notice, I'm not afraid to let devotees struggle a bit in their service. I don't, you know, she's struggling. Gotta change the service, change. I'll let you thrash about for a while. I mean, you know, the lifeguard's always there at the edge of the pool, but I don't mind letting you thrash about for a while, you know. Find your strength, you know. Not everyone can handle that. But, you know. Generally, the conception is if you feel inconvenience within 5 minutes of doing a service, drop the service. So I'm not afraid that devotees thrash about a bit and struggle. I know that if they go on trying, sooner or later, Krishna turns the switch, and they'll never forget that experience. The easiest thing is just to pacify everyone. Oh, you did this service for 10 minutes and you're putting a sleep in me. I'll change it though. Do something else. Go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, this is fun.
He's an understanding Maharaj. One would be very materially popular doing like that, but not very effective for pleasing Krishna. I know each one of you has capacities that you yourself don't understand you have. So we're devising situations in which you have to push yourself a bit. Prabhupada said this Krishna conscious movement should always be a challenge. Every devotee should feel challenged in his or her service so that the devotee will see the practical benefit of following the regular principles. That unless I'm pure, I'll never be able to do this service. If you've got that kind of feeling, you're in the right spot at the right time. If you don't, then you're not in the right spot at the right time. Phil Prabhupada said this Krishna consciousness movement should always be a great challenge. Otherwise, the devotees, he said, will lose their enthusiasm. They'll go away. They feel challenged. That this, I cannot do this service unless Krishna blesses me, in order for Krishna to bless me. I've got to remain pure. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.